Good morning.
We want to welcome all of you as family and loved ones of Gary as we gather here this morning to celebrate God's blessings given to him in this earthly life, but especially in the life that he now enjoys in eternal paradise. You should all have, hopefully, a worship folder. If there is anybody that doesn't, let us know, raising your hand perhaps. Looks like we're good. And so the order of service is printed for you in that folder, and I'll lead you through it. We will begin by singing the opening hymn selected by the family, hymn number 717 in the hymnals that are in your pew. And that is Eternal Father, Strong to Save. This is historically a naval hymn, but the four verses that you are going to sing help take care of all of the armed forces. And so we'll be singing the first four verses of Eternal Father, Strong to Save. Comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God.
Thanks be to God.
In holy baptism, Gary was clothed with the robe of Christ's perfect righteousness that covered all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber.
Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You may be seated. As I read the obituary for Gary, if you'd like to follow along, it is printed for you on the ivory-colored insert in your bulletin. Gary Allen Merritt was born in Denver, Colorado on February 16, 1945, the second of four boys to Harold Lee and Charlotte Liggett Merritt. Gary graduated from Inglewood High School in 1963 at the age of 20. He joined the Air Force, or at the age of 20, he joined the U.S. Air Force, serving for 4 years. During this time in the Air Force, Gary served in Thailand, Texas, Nevada, and Kansas. He was a crew chief for an F-105 fighter. On May 22, 1966, Gary and Mary Ann Rasmussen were joined by God into the one flesh union of holy matrimony at Trinity Lutheran Church in Burlington, Colorado. The Lord blessed Gary and Mary Ann's marriage of 58 years with two children, Trent and Cindy. After serving in the military, Gary worked at various jobs, including a 14-month period when he and Mary Ann owned their own meat business. After working in meat processing for 14 years, Gary worked as a USDA food inspection and compliance officer for 28 years until retirement. On December 11, 2016, Gary made a public confession of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at Mount Calvary Lutheran Church, and was subsequently baptized in the name of the Triune God on June 5th, 2002, at Mount Calvary Lutheran Church, being unable to confirm that he was baptized when he was younger. Gary enjoyed fishing, camping, and other outdoor trips and activities with his family, first in tents, and later in numerous RVs. He enjoyed many hobbies and interests, which include woodworking, golf, building and flying model airplanes, competitive shooting, bowling, and loved the challenge of doing his own home RV and auto repair work. He was an active volunteer with the Boy Scouts, the Independent Order of Foresters, the Rascals Camping Club, the American Legion, the Vietnam Veterans of America, a PAM Vet Breakfast Club, Platte Valley Medical Center, Fort Lupton Seniors, and Mount Calvary Lutheran Church. Gary was known as a kind and generous man, a good listener, not necessarily a big talker, but always able to make light of situations with his great sense of humor and positive attitude. He cherished his time with his family, especially with his grandchildren in recent years. Gary is survived by his wife Mary Ann, son Trent and Jody Merritt, daughter Cindy and Greg Smith, his brothers H. Lee and Lois Merritt, and Daryl Merritt, as well as six grandchildren and one great-grandson. After numerous years struggling with various significant health challenges, on January 6, 2005, in his home,
Gary's Lord held out his hand and called him to enter into eternal paradise, where he awaits the final resurrection to our heavenly home on the day of Christ's promised return. To God alone be glory forever and ever. We continue with prayer. Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth, the giver of life, we give thanks for all the mercies you granted our brother Gary during his earthly life, especially for calling him to faith in Jesus Christ. Comfort all who mourn his death with the hope of the glorious resurrection and a happy reunion in heaven. Lead all of us to remember our own mortality, so that we will ever prepare our hearts to fall asleep in faith and finally receive the glory promised to all who trust in your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading selected for this service by the family is recorded for us in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. As Isaiah contrasts all of the other so-called gods in the world to the one true and triune God, he speaks not only about how the Lord stands out as the only true God, but also of the eternal benefits that belong to all who believe in him alone. Beginning with verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading today is recorded for us in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4. This text is Paul's assurance to us all that those who have died before Christ's return, like Gary, will be among the first to be reunited with their resurrected earthly bodies when Jesus takes all believers to be with him in paradise. Beginning with verse 13, Paul says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise if you are able as we continue with the verse in preparation for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Facing the imminent death of Jesus, his disciples are experiencing great grief. Jesus comforts them with these words of promise. They are words that offer comfort to us today, as we inevitably think of our own death as well. Beginning with verse 1. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. God has made us his people through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we continue by singing the sermon hymn. Hymn number 739 in your hymnal, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Marianne, Trent, Cindy, as well as the rest of you in Gary's family, his brothers and your families, his grandchildren, whom he loved so much, his in-laws, cousins, and all of you as close friends. We all know why we are here this morning. Because a few weeks ago, someone very near, very dear to us, left this earthly life to enter into the loving arms of his eternal Savior, Jesus. But still, let's just be honest with each other. It's tough. It's hard.
because a crucial part of our own lives has been taken from us. Now, we often use other words and phrases to kind of soften the reality of what we're facing here today. We might say things like, "He passed away," or "I lost my husband, dad, grandpa, brother, or friend." But the reality is that we are here today not because our beloved Gary is lost, but because he has died. And death, well, death stinks, doesn't it? If Gary were here to respond to that question, I can just see it. I can hear it. I know he'd say in his own unique way, and I can't do the kind of shake and nod head that he does, but wide eyes, "Well, yeah." And why does Gary's death hurt so much? Because all the things that we came to love so much about Gary will no longer be ours to enjoy firsthand. As Mary Ann said, Gary was charming, funny, selfless, and generous. He was a great teammate, she said, especially here in the latter years in their life, where the things that maybe one of them used to be able to do, it took both of them to do, but they did it as great teammates. But he was, quote, "exasperatingly a procrastinator," unquote. Okay. I think I'd fall into that category if my wife were to be talking also. For you, Trent, you considered your dad to be your hero and best friend, a shoulder to lean on, always easy to talk to. Now that last one, that was one of the special gifts that God gave to many of us here in Gary. I know it was for me. I will always remember the many wonderful conversations that I had with him, usually in those times when it was just the two of us together, since he was generally a bit more reserved in a group of people. A number of you here in the room, in fact, have told me the same thing about how much you loved to visit with Gary one-on-one at a coffee shop, or for some of you as members here, out in the fellowship hall and other places. And Cindy, you highlighted the adventurous and humorous side of your dad that you said you didn't necessarily appreciate like you should have when you were young. Well, that's pretty much every child. But now you already miss it greatly. In fact, it sounds like those times that you all had with Gary on the many family camping trips, apparently often with flat tires, I guess, and even a burned pair of glasses involved. I'll have to see if I can get the story behind that later. Apparently they were quite the hoot, though, as you look back on them now especially. And I am just curious, I forgot to pull mine out, so I'm going to right now. How many of you in this room have one of Gary's homemade pens or pencils or a woodworking item that he made? Look at all the hands. Yeah, I've got this pen and pencil set that I carry with me almost every single day. Yes, there are a lot of wonderful things to remember, to thank God for in connection to our beloved brother Gary. Things that we are blessed to cherish, even at the same time that we grieve. Because as we said before, Gary has now died. But my dear people, as harsh as that word death is, for Gary, I want you all to know without any shadow of a doubt that even as we are here with his earthly remains before us, death no longer has any power over Gary. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us that this death that brings us here for this service was not even Gary's first death. Did you know that? Paul tells us this in Romans 6, verses 1 through 11, which we printed for you in the bulletin on page 5 if you'd like to follow along. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. As Marianne and I talked, we both agreed that this text from Scripture is a perfect description of God's miraculous work in Gary, both during his time here on earth and right now for Gary in paradise. Just like the rest of us, Gary's first life, that is his life here on earth, was one dominated by the many temptations and struggles with sin. As Paul said earlier in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now I know, our world tries to avoid that word sin. But as Paul says here, if you fall short of the perfect glory of God, in other words, unless you are perfect in every single way, then the fact is you have sinned. And I can guarantee it from many of my conversations with Gary that he would be quick to agree with that fact. Again, I can both see and hear him say, well, yeah. But especially in the last 8 or so years of his life, I can also see and hear him quickly agree, now with his signature smile and his wide, eager eyes, that in Jesus, because of his sacrifice on the cross for Gary and all of the rest of us, that he and all of his sin had been buried with Jesus. When Jesus was buried in the tomb outside of Jerusalem. As Paul says, it is at our baptism that Jesus connects us to all of his own death on the cross, where he paid for, where he buried the consequences of our lives of sin with himself in the grave. And I can say with complete confidence that Gary not only believed that to be true with all of his heart, it brought him tremendous joy and peace deep into the furthest recesses of his soul. For those of us who were close to Gary, it was a noticeable relief, a weight off of Gary's shoulders, to know, as Paul says in verse 6, that our old self, in other words, our sin-filled self before Christ, was crucified with him, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. That is a burden of knowing that we can never adequately pay for all of the times that we have disobeyed against God. Those bonds have been broken, have been cut away in Jesus. And here's where not only Gary's great joy and peace came from, but yours and mine as well. Verses 8 and 9. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. And why? Because we know, Paul says, that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15 backs this up, saying, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the reason that Gary was at such peace, even when he knew that his second earthly death was so close here recently. Because he knew Jesus had conquered death for him too. Gary knew that this earthly life was not the end all, not his ultimate goal. Even as much as he loved and deeply cherished all of you and his time with you as his family and friends. You see, Gary had already tasted of the first resurrection at his baptism. You can just see it in his eyes. Especially when he sat here in worship about 2/3 of the way back on the aisle. And also, when he knelt here at this rail to be fed by Jesus with the same body and the same blood that Jesus gave and shed on the cross to forgive every one of his sins and to cover him with Jesus' own righteousness for eternal life. It was just 3 days before Gary died that I was blessed to be with him and Marianne and Trent and Cindy in his living room for Gary to receive the Lord's Supper one last time here on earth. And I told Gary how much I cherished him, but also how much I cherished administering Christ's body and blood to him. Because every single time that I did, without fail, for the last 8 or so years since his confirmation, every single time I could just see so prominently in his eyes and his body language the joy and the eagerness that he had to receive that gift of life. It was like, yes, give it to me. And then only moments later, even though he could no longer lift his hand, the same eagerness was obvious to all of us there with him. In fact, though it makes me chuckle now to remember it, Gary was so eager to be fed and to feed on Jesus that last time that when we, out of love and care for Gary, tried to just give him the smallest little crumb of Christ's body because he wasn't really able to swallow food anymore, that Gary told Marianne with a firm whisper, "Give it all to me." He knew it wasn't earthly food. He knew it was eternal food for him. And friends, that's what Gary has now, isn't it? He's got all of Jesus. Paul said in verse 11, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." In baptism, that was Gary's reality even while he was with us here on earth. But now, just as Jesus promised the thief that was next to him on the cross, when he came to and he confessed his faith in Jesus there, Jesus said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." That's Gary's today, right now. Though his death really stinks for us, while we are struggling without him here, Gary is in the arms of Jesus in paradise today. And as Revelation, both chapter 7 and 21, tells us, his pain and his suffering, his struggles to walk and even breathe there at the end, all of it is gone for Gary. Forever. His joy is so much greater, in fact, than anything either he or the rest of us could ever imagine here on earth. Even more, I'm sure, than the joy that he had when he got to take a ride in that F-105 fighter jet like he used to work on in the Air Force. As God promises in the Old Testament reading that I read earlier from Isaiah 40, verse 31, which I also shared with Gary one of the last times I visited with him in the hospital. But they who wait for the Lord, that is, those who believe and trust only in him as Savior, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That freedom of spirit, that is Gary's reality right now with Jesus. And so Marianne and Trent and Cindy, I pray that knowing that your beloved husband and dad is at peace with Jesus right now will bring you peace and comfort. Even as you struggle with the tears of grief at this time and for the days and weeks and months to come. And I pray for all of you that you too might have the same peace, the same confidence that our brother Gary enjoyed in Jesus as well. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen. At this time we rise, if you are able, and we continue with the prayer of comfort and commendation on page 6.
Let us now pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Pray that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, with a certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life. Give to Gary's family and to all who mourn comfort in their grief, and assured confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, that they may know the consolation of your love. Receive our thanks for Gary and for all the blessings you bestowed upon him and us through him in this earthly life. Into your merciful hands, we commend your servant Gary Allen Merritt. Acknowledge him as a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints before your heavenly throne. Now taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people. A light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
And now receive the blessing of our Almighty and gracious God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
You may be seated as we conclude by singing hymn 971, There Is a Redeemer. At the end of the hymn, I'll give you a few words of instruction for our getting out of the sanctuary and going into the reception. So just remain seated at the end of the hymn.
Thank you.